Sure, I switched this thing on, and you know when it says update and then restart? I'm like, you are kidding me. That is the wrong time and the wrong place with the inconvenient updates. But praise the Lord, it is alive and well. We have notes. Because the last thing you want is just flying, you know, loosely on the mic and talk nonsense. But it's actually such a good thing. There's an update. You know, every now and again, stuff happens in the background, and you know, security updates and things like that. It happens, you know, of phones, but specifically laptops and things. And if you do those updates, you are just more secure, you know, privacy and security and all of those things. This was inconvenient now, so I could just cancel it. But man, what I want to touch on today is hopefully an update that is timely. Thank you, Lenovo. But seriously, that there would be an update taking place this morning that would, we would be different. If we restart, if we walk out of here, and I know we often say it, we probably say it every single Sunday, but that we would be different because of something that happened in here, something that God did, something God updated, something that we chose this morning. And ultimately, it's going to come down to what we believe, what you believe, what I believe. See, the thing is, there's a danger, man. You know what's a danger? Ingozi. You know, the side is khafar. Who just blatantly ignores that? But generally, like, well, hold on, does it look dangerous? If it doesn't look dangerous, I will just keep on going. That's kind of how you know, our behaviors are. But there's something dangerous that can take place in our heart that's not visible. You can't see it. It's subtle. It's super subtle. It's not rebellion. It's not atheism. It's not a loud doubt that we spread with everybody and everything. It's not. But it's two little words that we sell ourselves. We sell it to ourselves. We tell it to ourselves. And this might not be you. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's someone you know. But I want, this is where the update starts. You know, update loading, 1%. Boop. The two words is if only. Think how often you might have used that if only. And I know we can say it with a smile on our face. But I know us, most of us, we've lived life a little bit. We've experienced some stuff. Auntie Eugenia's like, yep. It's true. Each one of us, we've experienced stuff. But when we go into the if only, and there's normally like, you see, if only. Lord, if only you did this. If only you didn't do that. If only you came sooner. If only you rescued my marriage. If only you saved my business during COVID. If only. If only I was born in a different household. If only my siblings were not as rude and, you know, nasty as they were. If only my dad was maybe more loving. If only, man, the list goes on. We all have our if onlys, which we've been grappling with. We've been struggling with it. And maybe you've forgotten some of those. So old, those if onlys, they're just baked into our DNA. Hence the update that we need this morning. Because you know those words, what they do is they shift us from faith into doubt and into blame and into disappointment. If you think about it, what good is going to come off if only? It's doubtful. It's a hint of, I don't really trust. Should have been different, could have been different. Question is, do we trust Him even if we don't understand Him? Will we know all His ways? No. We'll know some of the ways. And the things we know, man, we know to be true, unshakable, immovable. Question is, do we trust Him when we don't understand? So I want to take us to someone else's life story. Because it gets real when we talk about our own, but I want to use this. And this is in John 11. This is verse 4. I want to look at our first scripture this morning. And you know this. The backdrop is Lazarus. He died. Mary, Martha sent for Jesus. And they say, hey, your friend is sick. He's really sick. Your beloved friend. It's not a distant relative, not someone you don't know, you never heard of. This is a friend. They know each other intimately. So when the message reaches him, he says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death.
It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, firstly, there's a very positive tone for someone that's credibly sick. And they would only send this message if they fear for him dying. But this is what Jesus said. What's the goal? What's the goal, do you think, of this? The end of that verse. What is the main thing here? It's actually not the death. It's not the illness. It's that God would be glorified. Now, mathematically, death equals God's glory being revealed. Look, I don't know. That equation sits, it's difficult. I don't know about you, how much you love math, but think about it. But when you're speaking to Jesus, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows that death is not the final story. Death does not have the final say. And if only we could remember his words. But we are human. And these things happen. And we don't fully understand. The thing is about faith, when we take him by his word, faith will anchor us to him and to his word before we see the outcome. Does the word not say, not by faith, but by sight? Oh, thank you. That is not what it says. It says by faith and not by sight. But thank you for stepping into the trap. It's just who we are. We don't have to stay that way, though. Here's the crazy thing in verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, you know the story? He stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. You see, how cool is that? Your dear friend, your beloved one is sick. That's not going to lead him to death. That's cool. He just stays. Guys, this makes no sense. Think if this was you. It was your brother that was ill to death. And you sent for the Messiah. And he doesn't come. I'm not a betting man, but I'd like to put money that we've had requests from the Lord. Lord, I'm in trouble. There's something. I need your help now. And for some reason, in his godly wisdom, he delays. And this is where faith gets tested. This is where the tire hits the tar. Man. You know what? Faith is not tested when God moves fast. It's when you move slow. Isn't it true? It's like, yes, man. In fact, we feel the favor of the Lord is on us. When we pray and it happens, boom. Like, look at this. Yep, man of God. Glory. It is easy to follow him. It's easy. I speak and the demons leave. Hasn't rained for 3 years. I pray and it rains. It's like we all want that story. We don't want to wonder, like, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I need you. They're like, he chills 2 days. Sure. But God's glory is of greater value and of more importance than immediate rescue plan. That's what we want. And how easy it is for us to start pointing fingers. Again, silently, in our hearts, in our minds. Maybe even with trusted friends. Like, just you, man. I don't know why, but Lord, you know, I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm doing this. I'm doing everything right. I'm like, it's not coming through for me. It's almost like he abandoned me. And this happens, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now remember, she's a sister of a brother who's dead. She thought she did a good thing. She flagged it up front because he's been healing. He's the healer. He didn't come. He's dead. She's in a sorrow. And we could see the amount of people that gathered around her to come and weep with her, you know, and this is a woman in pain. And we can understand this. I think we all can understand this. And she's like, Lord, if you only had been here, if only. But she's not the only one. The other sister, Mary, verse 32, says, now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, what's the first thing that she did? Well, she fell to her feet. And she said, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Is this a voice of faith, of trust, of understanding, or is it of utter disappointment? Of course, grief. The thing is, they still call him Lord. Do you notice? Lord, if only you've been here. The things they believed he could heal, that's why they sent for the message. They sent the message because he could heal while he's sick. But I think the critical thing here is they limited Jesus and we limit him to our expectations. Yeah. Our expectations, here's the problem, we need a solution now. That's not how he operated. And that's often not how he not operates. So we limit him to our expectations and now we subtly start blaming. Maybe not so subtle. It's part of our testimony. But you know what it does? When we do this and when they did that, it exposed where their faith stopped. That's where it stopped. Boop. At their expectation of what he could do for them. The way that they wanted it done. At the time that they wanted it done. Yo, verse 33. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, a whole parade of people weeping, he was deeply moved. And in his spirit, moved in his spirit. So he was deeply moved in his spirit, my apologies, and greatly troubled. Now for me, just grappling with this. This scene is going on. This is a bit of, it seems like a bit of mayhem. Everybody's weeping and wailing, and he's getting accused. And he's deeply troubled. And I'm like, well, I don't fully understand this deeply moved. What does it mean? And I looked at the Greek word. It's a big word for big emotions. Embri muamai. And what does that mean? Indignant. What does that mean? It's a stern intensity. It's a holy anger. Can you, like, and I know we've all heard interpretations. Why was he angry? He was angry. And again, it twice they mentioned. He was angry. Wow, it's a holy anger. It's not an anger that leads on to sin. It's a holy anger. But why could this be? And in the same breath, if you look at verse 35, which 33 to 35, Jesus wept. And we know this bit. But why from this being indignant, like really angry, to the sorrow, to weeping? Could it be that he was angry at death? Was death God's plan from the beginning? No. Sin brought in death. And physical death gets us all, but he's angry at that. But I think similarly also he's grieved by the unbelief. Close friends, those who know him, those who call him Lord, but those who's now in a place where they are disappointed. They're full of sorrow. But also, here's the heart of Jesus, that he would weep because he's compassionate. He sees the brokenness. He sees the lost. He sees all of this, the penalty of, you know, death that just comes to destroy. And he weeps. The compassion towards the broken. That's you and I. That's us. He still has that compassion. Even though he's strong enough to take care of death, he's tender enough that he would weep with us in our brokenness. Because this is why we can trust him. He's all-powerful, almighty God. He rules and he reigns. He created it all in 6 days, and yet he can associate with each one of us on the most intimate level. He knows every hair in our head. Man, he's trustworthy. So this is quite a sad story up until this very point. But in verse 40, there's a bit of a confrontation. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Man, and this is my prayer this morning. This is for me. This is my spirit, man, needs to hear this this morning. And I hope this is the same for you. Because there's a lot of stuff we can accuse and be disappointed over. But did he not tell us? Do we not have his word filled with promises? Him sharing his mind, his plan, his will. Sure, we won't know all of it, but what do we know about him? Did he not tell us? What is our response? What do? Are we not to bring into remembrance? Guys, it is not, I think so often it's not a shortage of prayer. Because we pray. It's not calling into remembrance. What does he say? And I would like to say, understanding is not required. Because we will not fully understand. When someone says, this sickness is not unto death, and then they die. What? You understand? I can't understand that. I cannot. To me, that feels like a lie. That feels like I've been deceived. I've been robbed. I was not telling the truth. But this is not a mere man that's going to come and disappoint us. This is God. When he says, I said, did I not tell? When he says it, that's it. They could believe for the healing, but they couldn't believe him and trust him for the resurrection? For taking care of death? Come on. Because we cannot understand this. But you know what we can do? Is believe in what he said. Yes, amen. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't bring life. He is life. He says, whomever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. Life, people, it's a person. It's him. It's Jesus. Death is not sovereign. The grave is not final. If we look beyond it, we see the cross, the empty cross. This is our miracle-working God. Not only would he take Lazarus, who's already died, and remember, when he wanted to go and said, show me the grave, show me. He said, Lord, no, Martha, no, please, Lord, it's 4 days. He's already smelling. What? This is Jesus. You want to block him, stop him from opening the grave because he's smelly. Come on. Because how many of our dreams, how many of our promises, how many of our stuff has been buried? We haven't even thought about it because it's impossible for God. It's already dead. It's clear, finish. I'm guilty. I've done it. But maybe there's stuff in your life. You have your little black book. He hasn't done it. And you've probably written off because it's dead. Sure. The real question is not, why didn't he? We might not know that fully, but the call is really, do you believe? Do I believe? And you know what? It's simple when we hear these words, when I'm confronted with this, I'm like, it's obvious. It's obvious. But I need my program updated. I need my understanding to be changed. I need my heart to be changed. I need my circumstances not to rule how I see and what I believe and what I trust. Family, we need to go back to the Word of God. What has He said? Let us stand upon that word, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it smells like, no matter how long it's been in the grave. He's able. Come on, man. Let us not be like those tossed to and fro. The waves, one thing come and the next thing come, doctrines, whatever. No, no, no. We stand upon the truth. We stand upon the word. That's it. That is us as believers. We need to do it. We know we have to do it. We know we don't have another option. Our Christian lives are going to suck. We're going to be miserable Christians if we want God to only fulfill our expectations at our timelines in the way that we wanted. Guys, that is not how it works. We come, we submit, we say, Lord, your will be done, not my will. And this is where we find life. So we have to, of all those if only, guys, we need to, as believers, we need to repent of that. Because that is not trust. That is doubt. That's accusatory in nature. We need to say no. He's blameless. And we've got to surrender our timelines. We've got to surrender our thoughts and ideas of how it should be done. We don't dictate. And then we have to replace our if only with even if. Imagine Martha and Mary came to Jesus, Lord, I don't understand this. I've got no idea why he's dead. And you said he won't be. But even if, doesn't this sound familiar? There's three friends in front of a golden statue. They don't bow down. Man, their faith is like, we know our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, We're going to be with him. Because we are language. Now, this is faithful. This is putting up trust in him, what he does, what he says. No more if onlys. It's even if. Yes, we will trust him beyond our understanding. And I wrote this line, that the glory of God is revealed not to those who understand everything, but to those who believe. Man, this is the promise we have. Can we change our language? Can you do business? I need to do business with God. It's like, Lord, I repent for my if onlys, where I doubted you, where I thought I know better than you, that I interpreted your words for my benefit and my benefit only, not your glory. And I surrender my thoughts about that. So that's what us as believers, we have to do this. We need to put the life back, the belief back, the faith and the trust back where it belongs. And all of a sudden, we're not defeated. Our enemy is defeated. But this is a life of victory. And then, finally, just for those who don't know him, Lazarus was dead, done and dusted. When Jesus spoke, he listened. How does that work? I don't know. How could a dead man hear? He came out waddling in his burial clothes, and Jesus said, just unwrap him, please, and let him go. And this morning, you might like, man, I don't know. But unless you're alive with him, you're dead, spiritually dead. And perhaps this morning you're hearing his voice. It's calling you, because he does say, this is what he says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open up, meaning if you respond to that, if you come, if you say, yes, Lord, he can take you from spiritual deadness and he'll give you a brand new life. So even if you die like a Lazarus, you will live forever. That's what he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Because it's accounted for each one of us to die once and then live forever. And this day, today, can be the day that you trade in the penalty of death, hell that's reserved for Satan and all his angels. And you can change the course of your eternity this morning by receiving and accepting this free gift where he says, I know you. I know everything you've done, all the sin, all the disappointment, everything. And if he was just, you'd get the penalty for that, which is death. But he says, no, if you believe on me, if you trust in me, if you look back at Scripture, not just blind faith, go look at the facts of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back for me, for most of us, based on what he's done. So this morning, so I'm going to ask, just maybe close our eyes. Maybe there's one person here this morning. You know you don't deserve it. You've done nothing. Yet that is the requirement. That you would just open your heart and say, Lord, I receive. I want this gift. I want you. It's not just the gift. He is the gift. He is eternal life. And you can accept him this morning. And he would come. And you know what he'll do. He said, I'll take your sin as far as the east is from the west, and I will remove him from you. I will throw it in the sea of unforgetfulness. You will think of it no more. There's a knocking at the door of your heart. And this morning, if you open up, he will come in, and he will feast with you.